Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
Get the app, get the Sports Hub, get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Does it hit you at all? Do you allow it to penetrate your mind at all that this very well could be your last home game as a Patriot?
I haven't thought about those things, and, you know, this I wouldn't be thinking about those things anyway. You know, it's felt like a normal week for me, so I just approach practice like I always have and try to do the best I could do. So that's what I'm going to do this weekend as well.
Line back! I got to beat this damn line. It's only 10:50. The open doors at 11, but you're in a rush. I got the money to swing it. It's all Ken Griffey. But so does this bum in front of me smelling like a lush. And there's a woman in front of him who forgot to brush.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Burt Breer is the senior NFL reporter and lead content strategist for the MMQB.
By the way, Esoteric opening with my biggest gripe against Chipotle. This song's about waiting in line at Chipotle. Is that he goes, I'm here at 10:50. They don't open till 11. That pisses me off. If you're a fast food restaurant that serves lunch, you should be open at 10. There's people who eat lunch a little bit early. Now, some of the Chipotles have moved up to 10:30.
At 10:30, I need them.
Or 10:30, at least.
10:30,
at least. I agree with that mostly just because there are times, like, when I'm on the road for work or whatever, that I want to pick up lunch before I, like, go into the office.
Absolutely.
And, like, just put it in the fridge or whatever. So they're missing that business there, right?
Yes. 11 like, is people way who are, too
like,
late.
People who are, like on their way and, like, I need to pick something up and put it in the fridge for lunch. I agree with that.
You just said fridge twice.
See, you're the only person in the world who has a problem with the word fridge. Fridge is a word that's just been around. It's, why would you say refrigerator when you could just say fridge?
Because it's just lame. Fridge.
What? Fridge is a word.
Who says refrigerator?
Nobody says refrigerator.
I do. I say the refrigerator. I've never said fridge in my entire life.
Yeah, but you've never had mac and cheese either.
And so, you've never seen Predator.
Cheeseburger, so, whatever. No. I mean, you're just weird.
No.
Good to see you back in here, Wallace.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Good to see you, Bert.
Art films while you guys sit here and waste away. All right. Bert Breer is a senior NFL reporter and lead content strategist for MMQB.
Now, made a little news this week, Fred. Did you know that?
I did not know that. But does he have a burner account?
He does not have a. We'll get into that in a little bit. Let's start with the news that he broke, however. Not broke, but, I mean, there's a lot of people talking about it, and that is that you had written or mentioned the other day about how not only is Josh McDaniels someone who is all of a sudden the belle of the ball once again, but you say that he's already putting together a team to take with him wherever he's going.
Yeah, and this is pretty standard for, I mean, I know the people at NBC, God bless them, you know, I work there too. The people at NBC Sports Boston have put together a couple of things that I've said, you know, in these video packages or whatever. It's pretty standard that coaches will do this, but if you're planning on staying here, you're not lining up staff because these are obviously other people's livelihoods.
Which he cared so much about when he
went
to Indianapolis.
Well, I mean, if you're doing this, it's not like, if his intention was to stay here, he's not spending all of this time lining up people to go with him, right?
Right.
And so, you know, Kevin O'Connell's won. Now, I don't know that he's going to be able to get him out of Washington. He's under contract with the Redskins. People in the Redskins organization like him a lot. You guys know him because he was a backup quarterback here.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And so, like, that would be potentially his offensive coordinator. Jonathan Gannon is a guy who actually wound up in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Because Josh put him there. Okay. Like he went from Minnesota to Indianapolis in 2018. Frank Reich held on to him after Josh decided not to go there. And so he's the DB's coach now. I think Josh would potentially take him as defensive coordinator somewhere. So there are a number of people that Josh has lined up to go with him wherever he goes. And I just keep saying to people, it's like, if his intention was to sit around here for the next 3 or 4 years and wait for Bill to walk away, like he's not aggressive.
Where would
this.
He go? Who would take a chance on him?
And would he have to take Casario with him?
I don't think it has to be Caserio, because there's another guy, okay, who has been not only with Josh here, also with Josh in Denver, also played with Josh at John Carroll, and that is Dave Ziegler, who's the director of pro scouting for the Patriots.
Well, he was responsible then, one of the people responsible for drafting Tebow. I'd want him nowhere near me.
Well, I mean, he was a lower-level guy back then.
Okay, but what? Who's? Because I would not touch McDaniels with a 10-foot pole, but who, in your opinion, would be interested in him?
I think Cleveland and Carolina are the two teams to watch. I think if Cleveland or Green Bay had offered him the job, their jobs last year, he'd be gone. I think he would be gone right now.
Does this say anything about Tom Brady's future here?
I don't think Tom knows what he's going to do next year. So Josh couldn't know what Tom's going to do next year. But does the fact that there's a 43-year-old quarterback here, like, I need to take a chance when I have one, because you don't know how hot your name is going to be a year or two from now, right?
Yeah.
Like, you just don't know. Like, you don't have control over that. And you can do the best job. You could do the best job in the world. But if the players aren't there, it may not look like it, right?
Sure.
And all these things are sort of controlled by perception. So if Tom Brady is not your quarterback next year, say Jared Stidham's your quarterback next year and he looks great in practice and everything else, but then he falls on his face when he gets in the game.
Doesn't Cleveland really want the offensive coordinator from
Minnesota? Stefanski is who you're thinking of.
Yeah, like Baker Mayfield's obsessed with him.
No, I don't think it's – well, so what Cleveland wants is alignment, because they've gone through arranged marriage after arranged marriage after arranged marriage, and so – the owner now is there, and I like, for the most part, the owner's like saying, like, okay, like, I'm taking control of this process. He's having Paul DePodesta, who was right about a couple of these things in the past, and they went the other way.
Right.
He's having him set up the process for him, then the owner's going to make the decision. They are doing basically what Washington just did, which is, we're going to pick the coach, and then we're going to build around the coach.
I'm sorry, I'm getting...
Which, that appeals to Josh, because Josh's whole thing is, like, I want everything to be aligned. So if you're going to hire him, then hire the general manager. Obviously, the general manager is going to be aligned with him.
I'm getting a little creeped out, Bert, and here's why. Is that the minute you mention NBC Sports Boston and something they put together, that camera over the back of your shoulder all of a sudden turned on and started moving around.
I saw that, too. Yeah, it's a little creepy.
Wow.
Like, we're not on TV. They're not supposed to be filming us. But the minute you mention them...
Lights on, baby.
Yep. Like, and I'm kind of weirded out
in the studio,
because that's kind of like an unwritten rule that you don't like film while we're not on your station.
Yeah.
That red light's on, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Filming you. Exactly. They're watching. That means that camera is on and live right now.
Good for you.
Which is really kind of
got
weird.
Got their attention.
It's like, what's Burke going to say? Yeah. We got 1 million hits on that last one. Let's make it viral again.
Hang on real quick. Mike, now that we're off topic. Mike, go ahead.
Another one off topic. Fred, you have a problem with the word fridge, but you were just making up abbreviations for Taco Bell food, like Chicky Cox. And what did you say?
Because that's sweet.
Beaneritos?
No, I said...
Do you see the irony in that, though?
Do I see the re in that?
The irony in that? Sorry, not a fake phone.
No. I'm just saying... I know. I heard you say irony. I just say knee.
Put some chos in the fridge.
Yeah, I just...
You never cease to amaze me. You really don't.
Thank you. I just say knee. I don't need the R. Or I just go I, or I go knee. Don't you see the knee in that? All right, okay, so quick. McDaniels, I wouldn't hire him. But
Cleveland and Carolina, I think, makes sense to him, because in both those places, he's going to be able to set things up. And I've said this a few times now. Him leaving Indianapolis at the altar had nothing to do with wanting total control over player personnel. Nothing. It was things like strength and conditioning, things like video, things like all this stuff that the fans don't care about.
Yeah.
The coaches care deeply about. Every coach cares about that.
Certainly screwed Frank Reich.
And it's stuff like that. Like, seriously, like that, I think, like, he's going to be leery about. And so if he goes to Cleveland or he goes to Carolina, I mean, look, in Carolina, they've got Marty Herney, an older general manager. The plan there is to bring in an assistant GM that matches up with the coach, and then have Herney groom that assistant GM to replace him.
Okay.
So that's going to be set up around the head coach. In Cleveland, they're going to hire the head coach before the general manager. The head coach is going to have input in who the GM is. Both these places are set up in ways where Josh can look at it and say, okay, if I go there, like, it's going to be built around me. It doesn't mean I have total control, but at least I know that when they bring in people, it's going to be with the purpose to work with me rather than just, okay, we're going to pick these two people and let's see if they can work together.
See, I've read that Cleveland was interested in a coordinator from somewhere else.
Minnesota. That's who you're thinking of, because Paul DePodesta is the Moneyball guy. You guys know him, right?
Yep.
So he's the Moneyball guy. The owner there in Cleveland is allowing him to set up like their coach search process, right? So everything that they're doing, like, he's setting the table for it, right? The owner's going to pick the coach, but he's setting the table for it. The reason they're doing this is because the owner trusts the guy, because in 2016, when they hired Hugh Jackson, this guy told them to hire Sean McDermott.
Okay.
And last year, when they hired Freddie Kitchens, this guy told him to hire Kevin Stefanski, who's done a really nice job this year with the Vikings as their offensive coordinator.
That's pretty funny.
So twice
this
now,
guy's been right.
This guy's been right a couple times. Now, this is, again, the Moneyball guy from whatever, the A's, whatever it was, 20 years ago.
I thought
ago.
That hiring was stupid. Remember when they announced that?
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was like, what are they doing? And obviously he seems to know what he's talking
about. Yeah, so like their whole thing is like, we're going to pick the coach. Like, the owner's like, we're going to pick the coach.
Yeah.
But you're going to set, we're going to trust you to set up the process because your process led us to two pretty good guys. And we said no a couple times.
When we get back, we have to talk about what you were hearing about the future of Tom Brady.
Sure.
I mean, this is the first time, as I said, that you can legitimately say this could be his last game.
Could be his last game.
Yep.
And plus the chances Tennessee has of coming in here and winning. We will be back in just a moment.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. Sports Hub.
Yeah, you got to feel good. You got to feel good to be in this position. And there's a lot of teams that aren't playing this week, so I think you look at this like a great opportunity to do something you love to do, which is go play football. You know, if you're not looking at it like that, then you're in the wrong place.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. That's Tom Brady from yesterday. We have Bert Breer in studio, so... here we have Tom Brady. He is not under contract after this season. He didn't play particularly well this season. And your understanding is what? Do you think Belichick wants him back? Do you think the Krafts want him back? Is he going to want to retire? What teams would be interested?
I don't think that he knows what he's going to do yet. I think all three scenarios are in play. Like, ultimately, I've said not to rule out like that they wind up back together in 2020. Just, I'm not sure that either side is going to have a better option. And like, just tell me on paper, like, what would, like, say the Patriots bring the defense back, right? Like, and say they find a way to keep Van Noy. I think that's going to be tough. Find a way to keep Jamie Collins. And the defense is coming back with all these guys, like, right on the edge of or over 30 years old, right?
Their secondary, very old.
Right, yeah. Right. So, like, say you keep that group together. Then, like, what is a better option than Tom Brady at quarterback next year? Now, I know he hasn't played as well this year as he has in the past, but who exactly is going to come in and run your offense that you're going to say feel comfortable with, like, to, like, okay, we can go into the playoffs and compete for Super Bowl?
Question about this, though. Would he sign a one-year deal, or would the Patriots offer him no?
So here's the flip side of it. Yeah. What's a better option for Tom Brady?
Right, going somewhere else and getting the two-year deal.
Going somewhere else, starting over. Right?
Yep.
Starting all over, new system, new coaching, like new system, new coaching staff, new building, new trainers, new, like all of that, new city, all of that different stuff, right? Like, where is the better option going to be? And don't forget, like, everybody acts like teams are going to be lining up. If you're another team, right? So one of two things has to happen. Either A, Brady has to agree to adapt to you completely. Right? Like, because you've already got your coaching staff, you've got your system, you got your way of doing things. Or B, you have to blow the whole thing up and do what Denver did in 2012.
I was just about to mention that. As close as Brady and Peyton have been over the last, like, since Peyton's been retired, I got to think that maybe he's been picking his brain about what it's like. Because, I mean, remember, Peyton was coming off that surgery. So, he wasn't, like, going to be the Peyton Manning that we thought when everyone was clamoring for him to be their quarterback.
So Denver blew everything up for him, right? So Mike McCoy was the offensive coordinator. Gase is the quarterback's coach. They had run that offense for Tim Tebow the year before. They blew the whole thing up. They said, okay, we're going to do everything to make Peyton comfortable, right? And at that point, it was like it was a risk because of the health thing. But at least you knew, like, if he gets out of the woods health wise, like, he's 36. So 4 years, we'll probably get 4 years out of him, something like that. And that's exactly what they got, 4 years out of him, right? Are you going to do that for Tom Brady at 43 years old? Like, are you going to blow up everything, right, and say we're all in for Tom Brady at 43 years old? How many teams are you willing to do that?
Well, let's think of teams that...
So my point is, it's either A, he's adapting and starting all over, right, at 43 years old, or B, you are blowing everything up for a 43-year-old.
And if you have a young quarterback, you don't want him.
Right.
Well, what if you don't?
I mean,
what
you can rule out 20 teams.
Yeah.
Easily.
Well, let's go and look at the ones that are the most popular ones. What about going out to the Chargers?
They're keeping Anthony Lynn. They're going to have to make a decision on Phillip Rivers before any of this, right? So they'd be sort of flying blind there. It'd be like, you franchise Phillip Rivers, right? So, like, you have to make that decision in February. Are you willing to go again? And they've got a win now roster also. Like, they've got Joey Bosa, Derwin James, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry. Well, we'll see if they bring back Melvin Gordon, Russell Okung on the offensive line. They've got all of these win now players. If you're them, are you going to roll the dice and say, we're going to let Phillip Rivers go to the market? We're going to piss him off by, like, just letting him walk, right? And then
what if we're
So do you not franchise Phillip Rivers?
What if he wants to retire?
If Rivers wants to retire, then that's something else.
Okay, but all right, let's put Los Angeles in a business perspective.
So here's the other...
Well, hang on a second. So if it's Los Angeles, does it go beyond football in the fact that you have not been overly successful locally?
And
if you bring Brady in, it's certainly a selling ticket.
And that part of it, yeah. I mean, like, look, you guys see what it is. You guys see what it looks like in a 25,000-seat soccer stadium. Do you think it's going to look better in a 70,000-seat, like, palace?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be, like, they're facing a potentially ugly scene next year in a brand new in a $6 billion stadium. So, like, do I think it's possible that business interests get involved here? Yeah, I think that's certainly possible.
Chances Brady and McDaniels could go to the same place. Because that would make things easier for Brady.
Yeah, I mean, in Cleveland, no.
Right.
Because they're so invested in Baker Mayfield. Carolina, maybe. Like, if he went to Carolina, like, the potential exists where he could be the bridge. Like, that may be the one where you could say legitimately.
Is their roster good enough that Brady could take them over the hump?
Not exactly a squadron of great wide receivers.
And that's,
why you hire Antonio Brown.
Well, no. In Carolina, you've got DJ Moore. You've got Curtis Samuel. Greg Olson, I'd assume, might come back if you have Brady there. Christian McCaffrey is one of the best weapons of football. You got to fix the offensive line, but there are some pieces there. I mean, but you'd also say, like, if you're bringing in McDaniels, and there's going to be something of a rebuild going on there too.
Right.
So, like, does Brady want to go somewhere where he is just sort of the bridge? And that's, like, at this point, it's like, it's hard to see a scenario where, like, Peyton Manning didn't go to Denver as the bridge. Peyton Manning went to Denver, all right, like, 3 or 4 years, we're all in. Realistically, if you're another team, you look at Tom Brady, as great as he's been, and I think he's the greatest of all time, like, you have to look at it, I mean, like, all right, if we're going to bring in Tom Brady, we've got to, like, find the next guy almost right away.
All right, let's get nuts.
Yeah.
You got one team that is missing a coach. They need a coach. And you've got a quarterback who's asking for $40 million a year that they might not want to pay. What about Dallas?
I still think they're
three Pro Bowl offensive linemen in front of you.
I mean, do you understand how much
fun that would be?
Do you understand how unbelievable that would be? And maybe it's worth it for Jerry Jones to get Josh McDaniels as the head coach down there if you let Dak Prescott walk, because they're already paying, like, a lot of money. You let Dak Prescott walk, and you plug in Tom Brady for 2 years.
I like that idea a lot.
I like that a lot.
I really like that idea a lot.
But, I mean, that's fun. It's too perfect.
Jerry would pay whatever Brady wants.
I don't think it's happening.
No, he's got to sign Amari Cooper, and he's got to...
Yeah.
Who else? He's got three...
I mean, Amari Cooper, Byron Jones. Yeah. Dak, obviously. I think they're too deeply invested in Dak, but that would be fun. I mean, the one
are
that,
they
like,
though? Because they didn't
the one
pay
that,
him.
The one that's sort of like the one that's always sort of like made some sense to me on the surface is Chicago, because they are in such a like that defense has maybe a year or two left. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're in a cap situation where it's like they can kick the can down the road on a couple of guys and move some things around and mortgage a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was a team where you looked at it and said they like it makes sense for them to go all in, it makes sense for them to be all in for 2020. I like the Bears sort of make sense. I don't think they're going
to
do it.
They committed to Jabrisky, man.
Right, right. That's why
I mean, they said it publicly. They can't go back on that.
Yeah. Once you say it in the press conferences.
I also wonder, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of obsessed with this Dallas thing because it's making me laugh. Like, I mean, of all the stuff, because wasn't Jerry Jones one of the biggest kind of sticks in the mud when it came to the whole Deflategate deal? Wasn't he one of the biggest advocates for punishment? Extreme punishment. Wasn't he kind of pissed?
Well, he was mad.
That they were skirted the punishment they should have gotten for Spygate. You know what I mean? Don't you think that almost there's part of Jerry Jones that would feel good about getting Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady?
I don't like him and he and Kraft have been. Now there's been some push and pull, of course, but he and Kraft have been pretty aligned.
Okay.
Jesus, Fred. he and Kraft have been over the years pretty aligned on certain things. Like they're very aligned in the television contracts now. They're very aligned in the CBA. Like you always hear about them. Those two guys have been sort of in lockstep on a lot of business matters. So I don't think that there's like I don't think there are bad feelings.
Okay, there's not that competitive thing.
There's competitive stuff, definitely, okay. Absolutely between the two of them. Right. But like I don't think, I don't think that they go into a room and, you know.
I just think the least likely scenario is that Tom Brady comes back because it seems like he can get more money somewhere else. It seems like he's just done.
That's the thing is like where like
yeah
what to just show me a scenario where it makes sense. Like let's forget about like the information that I have on it. Just show me a scenario where it actually makes sense for a team to blow up its planet quarterback.
You don't have to blow up some of them. I mean,
you're bringing the guy in, but
you're bringing the guy in, and now you're gonna do all this stuff to accommodate him, right? Like, so it's like, what system are we gonna run? Like, and remember, like the reason you did this with Peyton was because that was how you got the most out of him.
Let's go through the teams. Buffalo, no. Miami, why?
Miami, I mean, that's kind of interesting.
Why would you possibly take him? Miami's going to draft a quarterback.
Not a chance.
Miami's like their owner. Their owner, like the way this whole plan came together was because their owner read a book on the process. Like, so the process does not allow them.
Jets, no. Cowboys, whatever. Giants, no. Philadelphia, no. Washington, I would guess not.
Brady would never go to Washington.
No, he wouldn't. Baltimore, no.
No, just tell me the realistic ones.
No, I'm going through the teams. Okay. Baltimore, no. Cincinnati, no. Cleveland, no. Steelers, no.
Unless, like, Ben, like, suddenly retired.
He ain't retired.
But he just said less than a month ago he was coming back.
Yeah,
right?
No, I know. Okay, Chicago, maybe. Lions, no. Packers, no. Vikings, no. Houston, no. Colts.
Not impossible.
Not impossible. Jacksonville, no. Tennessee.
What about to play with Bruce Arians?
Hang on.
They're obviously not going to keep Jameis,
Falcons,
right?
Falcons, no. I don't see him going to Carolina. Saints, no. Tampa Bay, no.
Not totally impossible. He's not going to
Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay. Denver, no. Kansas City,
he's
no.
Got some nice weapons down there.
Where?
Tampa Bay.
Why? He's not going to play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You're just telling me which places could be realistic.
He's going somewhere to win. You're telling me you put Tom Brady on that roster, they're going to win a Super Bowl?
No.
He's not going. Just let me complete the exercise because I'm almost
Dallas
there.
And Denver. Denver and Chicago.
No.
Dallas
Kansas
and Chicago.
City, no. Chargers, maybe. Oakland, no. Arizona, he's not going there.
Oakland.
Kyler Murray.
Vegas.
Oh,
Vegas.
Oakland.
Oakland's not impossible.
That's interesting.
Because that's like Gruden's thing. Like
going
if you
to
remember
Vegas?
Over the years, like he won with Brad Johnson at the end of his career. He won with Rich Gannon at the end of his career. So there's like Oakland's not. Ooh. Vegas would be fun.
Well,
too.
I mean,
Mark Davis and Tom Brady together.
Mark Davis would give him like
he'd give him 20 million, I, 5 million Skittles.
The other thing I do, the other thing I think is a factor here.
Blackheart. Uh-huh.
He has a son who lives in New York. And I don't, like, I don't know if that'll be a decide. I'm just saying it's a factor.
Well,
it's like the idea of being, like, going way far away from his, where, like, his son
sure.
is,
yeah.
I think would be problematic for
and,
him.
And no, neither of the New York teams would take him. All right, Bert Brew, we can get down to the nitty-grit. We can talk about, we can get out of fantasy world, and we can start talking about the game that's happening on Saturday. We will have that here, the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bert Breer is in studio. So, Bert, the Tennessee Titans coming in. First of all, what has the change been with Tannehill? And do you blame his coaches before, including Adam Gase, yeah. for his lack of progress?
Well, you being a Jets fan, I'm sure you've kept up with the fates of all the skill players like Ryan Tannehill and Devontae Parker and Kenyon Drake, right?
Yes.
Like how they've all suddenly had career years.
Yes, it is frustrating. But
I think it's as much as anything else is about the environment around him. And I think a lot of times we don't put enough stock in that, right? Like, and what's a quarterback have around him from a system standpoint? What's he have around him from like a talent standpoint? I mean, look, Derrick Henry's the rushing champion, right? He's got two first round tackles in front of him and Taylor Lewan and Jack Conklin,
mm-hmm.
Jonnu Smith, like
Michigan guys, one Michigan State, one University of Michigan.
Yeah, and so Jonnu Smith
like that,
is the
Johnny?
Tight end.
Very impressive.
You guys probably, like people, like some people around here may not have heard about
him. Oh, I know all about
him. He's freaking awesome, right? And then A.J. Brown's probably is one of the two or three top contenders for Offensive Rookie of the Year. On the other side, you got Corey Davis, who was the fifth pick in the draft. Like, it's so much of this is you put him in a good environment, you're not asking the world of him, and you've put him in a position where – like, look, like if you're in second and four a lot, if you're in third and one a lot, like this is what happens.
And they let him, I mean, the one thing about Tannehill, we were talking about it yesterday, I think that he has almost a yard on every other quarterback in the league when it comes to yards per pass. I mean, yeah. Like, it's just, he's not a dink and dunk guy. He's a guy that, I mean, what was it, 9.5 yards per pass or something ridiculous
six.
Like that?
Yep.
So they let him sling it, which is nice, but he holds on to the ball for a long time.
Yeah,
that's the other problem.
A lot of sacks.
All right, so if you are going in, and I guess weather might be a factor on Saturday night.
I'll say it's going to be nasty.
Yeah. So I would say that's an advantage to Tennessee, that if you're Tennessee, you want it to be nasty because of your running game.
Yeah, well, you would think so, yeah.
You would think. All right. What is, if you're Tennessee, based on your strengths, and we know that they can run the ball, what is your philosophy going in? Now, I'll ask you this. Do you buy into the, if you were an assistant or you were a player on the Patriots, that demystifies them and that is an advantage to you?
I think it helps. I think it helps from two standpoints. One, what you just said, like demystifies that to a little, to some degree, I think that does, that's real, right? The second piece of it is, Mike Vrabel has been in those meeting rooms, and he knows the level to which Bill Belichick is picking apart an opponent.
Yeah.
And he knows the level to which, like, Bill Belichick is able to identify, okay, here's this weakness here, here's this weakness here, here's this weakness here. We are going to take those scabs and cut them open,
yeah.
right? And that's the philosophy here. If you're Dean Pease, the defensive coordinator there, you've been in those meeting rooms. You've game planned
yeah.
that way in the past. And so I think for a lot of these guys who go and coach other places, one of the reasons they do well against Belichick is because playing against him sends them into like almost a self-evaluation mode,
yeah.
right? Like, so not only are you preparing your team to play, you're also saying, okay, well, Bill's going to find this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Bill's going to find that too.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's that part of it where it's like, if you've worked here before, that's real. Like, you know, like we may be able to, we may have been able to cover this up for 5 weeks, but it's not going to work this week.
Yeah.
So let's just not go there.
Yeah.
And so I think it sort of helps you as far as being able to conceptualize all of that. Mike Vrabel understands it. Dean Pease understands it. I mean, hell, Logan Ryan and Malcolm Butler's not going to play. He's on IR. But
Deion Lewis.
But Deion Lewis, like the guys like that, like they know it. You know, like so I think you can tell another coach, you can tell another coach that. And but is he really going to understand it to the level that these guys understand it? Probably not. And so I think it helps like for those guys to go into this sort of situation and say, okay, like I know if I do this, Bill's going to eat this alive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so we're just not going to do that.
So where do you stand on this on the game? I mean, it's right now I think the spread's at 4 for the Patriots.
That's crazy.
Which is like, it's nuts, game. Isn't it? Like it's the Tennessee Titans who haven't been in the playoffs in a couple of years. Who like there's no hit.
Tannehill's their quarterback.
Tannehill's their quarterback. And like if you had told me on September 1st, if I said to you Fred, on September 1st, Ryan Tannehill's going to come in here on Wild Card Weekend and be a 4-point dog.
I know. And in the beginning of the season, I mean, everyone was talking about them being undefeated, the Patriots. Yeah. I mean, I would have said there's no way.
Yeah. So I mean, and there's what's it's 3 points is the home
right. Swing. Yep.
So
it's the numbers really, up to 5 this morning. Oh, there's the sharps are in.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The sharps are in. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, they were saying, what were the
that means more voices? Money's going towards the
Patriots.
Titans?
Patriots.
If Patriots. The spread gets bigger? Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Have the bankroll boys taught you nothing?
I know. I'm completely off. I'm not a sharp.
I'm
a square.
Yeah, you're square. That's a square play.
It's a square
play. Look, like there's lots of reasons why you would like the Titans here. They've played better over the last month
right.
or so.
Well, Tannehill's the best quarterback in football if you take a look at the last couple of weeks. Last, since he started.
12 games, he has the best passer rating in the league.
Now, that said, if you really look at their last month, they had a huge, like a division title game against Houston 3 weeks ago, lost. They blew a 14-point lead against the Saints at home. Mm-hmm. Now, the Saints are a great team. I'm picking the Saints to win the Super Bowl. So Saints are a really good team. But they blew a 14-0 lead against the Saints at home.
Yep.
And then last week they won.
Doesn't count.
Yeah. But it was against backups. It was against the Texans JV.
Yep.
So like there is that part of it. But like Fred said, like I mean, if the line was 4 when we woke up this morning, that's a pick'em because of the home field thing.
And do you think the elements would, if it is a bad night, that favors Tennessee or no?
I always think. I don't know. I mean, like, because at some point you're going to have to throw the ball.
Right.
And I don't know if I trust Tannehill in the elements.
No, I don't trust Tannehill.
I mean,
Tannehill.
He played most of his career in Miami. I know he's been in this division, but he played most of his career in Miami.
Yep.
He's from Texas. So I just, there's that part of it that I'm not.
And there's also a little bit of the Gilmore got embarrassed, and it's probably killing him. And I have a feeling this is going to be one of those games that's just going to be lights out.
Well, Gilmore has underperformed a couple weeks now. I mean, he didn't play well against Buffalo either. All right, so if you're looking at this game and you're looking, is there any chance Kansas City or Baltimore would lose? Because they can't. Okay, take Kansas
City. Well, no, because you're going to play Kansas City.
Yeah, you automatically. Yeah. Is there any way Baltimore loses
to Buffalo or Houston?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I don't know if they can. I don't know if Buffalo can score with them. Based on how Baltimore's defense
Josh
is playing,
Allen's their quarterback,
and Houston lost by 100 to them. Like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't think either of those teams can go into Baltimore and win.
All right.
Yeah. I'll put Baltimore in the AFC title game now and look stupid in a week and a half, probably.
All right. When we get back.
Kansas City or Baltimore, I mean, I don't think there's a way the Patriots do it.
When we get back.
That's the price of losing
that Miami game.
It's like yep. Now you go in with this older team. You have to play Tennessee, which is a very physical team. Win or lose, very physical team.
Because that's what I've been
saying. Then you have to go at Kansas City, at Baltimore.
Because, Bert, there is something to that, is that Tennessee is a very physical team, and it's like a fight when you go to someone's – if you attack the body the entire fight later in the round, the team's going to be –
Well, there was history for that, too. Like, right. If you remember, like, they played the – in 2006, they played the Chargers, right? Mm-hmm. And that was a – like, that was the LT, like, Merriman on all the juice at that point. Like, right? Like their corners were, like, Cromartie and Jammer.
Is that the torn ACL game?
That team
Was that the one where what's his name?
No,
that was the AFC Championship game.
That's right.
So this was this Chargers team was loaded. They were 14-2. The Patriots went out there and won. Right,
Troy Brown.
But it was a fight. Right. Yeah. The next week, and there was the flu that hit the team and everything else too, but the next week against the Colts, remember, they come out, they look like gangbusters in the first half, and then all of a sudden it just...
Gagged it away.
Like,
awful.
Yeah. 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 Rich, and so that's Rich the effect it can Vegas. Have on you.
Mm-hmm. Rich and I were in Vegas for that San Diego game.
Was that pre-Boston?
No, we were here first year.
First year.
Yeah.
And I was very hungover watching that game in the room. All right, we'll finish up with Bird in just a minute.
And I want to ask you... When we get back about your buddy who may or may not have a burner account for Adam Gase.
Yes, Manish Mehta. We'll find out. Gase wronged him. He don't like Gase.
Do you guys have burner accounts?
I don't. And I swear in a Bible, I don't.
I don't.
I have an account.
To me, it would be just too much work.
It would be a lot of work.
I have an account.
And I would definitely, at some point, I would definitely mess up and hit the wrong
one. Right. Everyone does.
Yeah. I have an account that's not my name, but it's locked, and I've never tweeted from it. And I can prove that at a moment's notice. All right, we will be back in just a moment.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Are we on the air?
Uh-huh. 98.5 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Bert Breer in studio. Yeah. And Bert is good friends with Manish Mehta, who we've had on the phone several times. He's a beat writer for the Jets on the for the New York Daily News. And Rich, there has been controversy surrounding the man.
Well, what was awesome was this is on the heels of Manish Mehta had written a story about how Adam Gase privately, when people would start ripping on him for not being a good coach, he would start bragging about how much money he had. And as a matter of fact, Manish Mehta apparently asked at a press conference one time whether or not Adam Gase had a burner Twitter account because there had been an account that was named after his son. It was like Wayne V, which
Wyatt V18,
which Wyatt being the name of Adam Gase's son. And this is a person who had just been defending Adam Gase with all of his tweets. As a matter of fact, there were even some tweets that were put out there that were written as when I did this or that and immediately deleted and then turned to when Adam Gase does this or that. So like he couldn't quite get the tenses correct or showed the world that was him in his Twitter account. But the final straw was that he had tweeted out a article that Manish Mehta had written that I don't think had been put out on the internet yet. So it was like it was something that usually the writer would put out first, but instead, even before Manish Mehta did, account tweeted it out.
So I don't know. That was the one I wasn't sure about. Like, whether or not like that would be like the smoking gun, obviously. But like, I don't know if that was tweeted before Manish tweeted it himself because it was identical to a Manish tweet.
Yeah.
So it's certainly possible. And this is how crazy this thing is. whoever was running the burner saw Manish tweet it, just quickly, like cut and paste. Pasted it, posted it, let it sit there for like 3 minutes, then took it down.
Okay, because this person deleted it almost.
To frame him, right.
Oh, to frame him.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you think, you know Manish Mehta, have you talked to him about this?
Yeah, of course I have.
Okay, what is he saying?
Well, I mean, we're like a bunch of us are sort of making fun of him over it. obviously in a situation, I mean, we're making fun of him for it, but like obviously in a situation like this, like the public trust is really important. You know what I mean? Like in everything that we do.
And sure.
Like, so people have to believe that you're covering whatever you're covering on the level.
Okay.
And this obviously would compromise all of that. And so like for Manish, it's a very serious thing. We're messing with him, of course, because we're his friends. But like, of course, this is a very serious thing. And I'm going to call it what it is. If he was guilty of this, and he's told me he isn't. But if he was guilty of this, it'd be a very hard thing to come back from. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because I guess the cynic would say that, boy, how devious is this? Is that if you believe Manish did set it up as a fake burner account,
right,
that he made an account just to be able to call out Adam Gase for having a fake account?
Well, Manish hates Gase.
I know, but, right. But it's almost like he didn't need to add more fuel to the fire.
But then there's this other thing where like there's an IP address that was like traced back to Gase's house, and like this is how far down this rabbit hole you can go, that was traced back to Gase's house in Chatham, New Jersey. So,
oh man, and then like, apparently the times that Adam Gase, like his fake Twitter account, tweeted.
Like lined up with the jet schedule.
Yeah, right.
He could be doing it.
So
yeah.
He could be doing it. So, I mean, so somebody did trace an IP address. First of all, it's weird that somebody found Manish Mehta's home IP address.
No. To the Gase.
Oh, to the Gase's house. Gase's house. Yes. Okay.
Right. So, like, there are some people who think, oh, well, maybe this is Gase's wife, like which
seen, happens a lot.
We've seen that before. Like, wasn't that the Colangelo case? Wasn't it Colangelo's
the guy
wife?
From the Cavs? Oh, the Sixers. That's right.
Like,
yeah.
Like, so I believe like his was his wife that was actually running this. Which I had a talk with Emily about this earlier this
oh,
week.
Oh, you right? have to. Do you know how mad I would be if I found out that like my yeah. wife was, and she wouldn't do that.
I said, Emily would never do it. I said to her earlier this week, I'm like, just so we're clear.
Now my mom would do it.
My mom would do it in a heartbeat. My mom would do it in a second.
Like every time,
I'm like, thank God my mom has no idea how to use the internet because she would do that in a second.
Like whenever Tom Brady's dad like runs his mouth off, I just go, dude, I feel you. Yeah. Damn, I feel you, Tom. Yeah. And how many times Tom Brady allegedly has had to say, Dad, pipe down. Just don't give him anything.
Yeah.
I'm like, I feel you, man.
Yeah. So I there's like evidence that it's Manish. There's evidence that it's Gase. And it's just the funniest part about it is like, no matter what, like that, like three dimensional, like what you mentioned, what you just like, yeah. someone is doing that.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
right. Somebody's
like,
doing the investigating.
Someone has not only set up this account, but someone is also framing somebody to be running this account, right?
I love it.
Like, so, like, whatever it is, like, whatever you think it is, it's either, like, someone in the Gase family is running this account and then framed Manish for running the account.
Oh, sure.
Or Manish is running the account and someone from the Gase family, and then Manish framed somebody from the Gase
family. It's like Columbo's idiot cousin. All right.
Only the Jets, Fred.
Yeah, right. Only the Jets. All right. Burt Breer, MMQB, thank you so much for coming in. I understand you're going to be in a couple hours, so look yep. forward to hearing you then. No commercials here, just the headlines.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.